Let's pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us utterance, Lord, and speak through our mouth and bless the congregation. Help them, Lord, to see the light. Those that have not seen you yet, open our eyes to see you. Open our heart to receive your word. And to everyone that is in the church, that they may know where they stand. Are they in the Lord? Are they in the faith? Are they in the kingdom? Help everyone to see where they stand, Lord. So that because you are coming soon, we don't want to miss the rapture. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Music. I have been in this country for quite some time, and I have witnessed to people. I want 2 shares here. I'm going to do interview, a form of interview. Just 2 shares, please. Oh, the brain, just give me 1, 2 shares here. It's going to be like an interview. The reason why we're going to do this interview is because when you come to preach to people, especially in this country, America, you say, are you a Christian? They say, oh, yes, praise, I'm a Christian. Everybody claims to be a Christian since I came to this country. Are you born again? Those who are churchgoers, only 2. Just one more. Thank you. Are you born again? If they are honest, they may say, I don't know whether I am. And I want you to think about yourself. If somebody asks you, are you born again? And then somebody may say, I am baptized because they are Catholic. They wash their face. Because in this country, especially, and all over the world, you may be Anglican, CMS in Nigeria, Baptist, and you are raised in the church. There are many people that were raised in the church. From the day they have been going to church, and they are good people. But they are not born again. Look at it from John chapter 3, verse 1 to something. Let's read it. Story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a rabbi. Just like in America, in Nigeria, in every place, you may be a preacher. You may even be a churchgoer. You may be a reverend going to seminary. Because you choose to serve people or choose to serve God. And many pastors, many preachers in this country, when they come before the evangelists and they hear the gospel, they say, they never sure they are really born again. Are you born again? Because this is what the Lord told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus have been living, teaching the Torah. One of those, they said, look at it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the question. Are you born again? Well, I've been going to church of my life. Are you born again? So now, the way I want to present this is to tell testimony, because it's this thing called born again. You have heard it. It's all over the globe of churches in Africa. They call it, the people claim redeemed, but many of them may not really be born again. They just joined a good church. You could have been raised like that, raised all your life, living the laws, living the rules that your parents said, the church said, and sick, may not be born again. Like this Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's already old? He said, by water and by the Spirit. In short, there is an experience. It's an experience called being born again. If you cannot point to the day that you gave your life to Christ and something changed in you, if you cannot point to that day, then maybe you are not born again. Because it's an experience. If I come upon you and pour water on your face, you experience something, you feel something. Wow! There's an experience called being born again. And it's not what you say, I was born like that when I was born by my parents. No, you've got to know when that day comes, because you made up your mind to follow him. You surrender to him. Then it changed something in you. and you will feel it. And that's why I'm going to call Pastor John. I'm going to do an interview for Pastor John. Come on, Pastor John. It's going to be like an interview. He's going to give a testimony of what he felt when he was born again. Because if you don't feel anything, you're not sure whether you are really born again. You have been following your parents all along, or you've joined a good church. You just like this group called Christians. And that is how you have been part of them, but have you been born again? Because this is what counts. Praise the Lord, Pastor John. We are going to give like an interview. You've seen it on television where people come and they give their type of experience, what they were, and then they give their life, what changed. How do you know you are born again? Because somebody will say, well, I think I am. That means you are not. You must be able to point to a day when you gave your life and what changed. And then we go from there. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People say, well, because I'm here on the streets, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? I don't know. It's something you must know if you are really filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not the born again. That's on top of the born again. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask this pastor here, Pastor John Agemome. And I'm going to ask him, he's going to give his own form of his own testimony of what he felt the day he was born again. Okay. And that is the first question. And then we go to what about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And when you listen to testimonies, then you think about yourself. Have you ever had a day you can point to? Because if you are not born again, you need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You can be part of a church for years of a life and never experienced this thing unless you recognize whom you are, that you are a sinner, born in sin, and you have been living in sin. And you say, well, yeah, you have never really done anything wrong, but you are born a sinner. That's the key thing. You needed a savior. When that comes to you and you realize that you really need a savior, then you cry unto him that he touches you. That touch is an experience you must have that changes something in you. You can tell when that day occurred. That is what testimony we are going to hear from those who really experienced born again. Okay? Okay, Brother John, I want you to tell us how you were, not detail of what sin you have been doing before you really had, how you come to know that you are born again.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for this question. It's a very, very important question that everybody should be able to answer. Are you born again? As for me, I was born to pagan parents, serving idols. So my father serving idols, and somehow I was not interested in serving idols. Before he would take any meal, he would first offer sacrifice to his fathers and all that. My spirit didn't agree. Somehow in this primary school, they were telling us about going to church, and the church was very far away, maybe about 5-6 kilometers away from my village, but I had to go all the way. That's the mystery of redemption. As at that time, nobody was showing me any example in the family. So I wasn't even born again at that time, but I was religious. I got born again 53 years ago, 1973 to be specific, and how it happened. I was in a Catholic system. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I was taking Holy Communion, and I was a defender of the faith. When I say defender of the faith, defender of the Catholic Church has been the only true church. So those were my credentials. Until one day, we heard about the move of God in the church, that Holy Spirit now moves even in the Catholic Church, and that, look, if you want to be part of what God is doing, let's go to that hall, and we're going to have a fellowship. So I went to the hall, and
Were you in high school then, or what?
Oh, no, I was not yet in high school then. So I went to the hall, with other catalysts. It's like the old building and then the new building. So the old place was given to this charismatic, we call Catholic charismatics. So I got there and I saw other Catholics and some visitors from Church of God Mission that time. They were telling us about how to be born again, how you can make heaven. And then they asked one question. Say, are you sure where you spend eternity? I always found this one very confusing. How can I be sure? Am I God? It's only God who knows where everybody is going. But they made me realize that night, that evening, that it is possible to know where you are going to spend eternity here and now. It's appointed unto man wants to die after that judgment. So he's making the right choice and choosing Jesus. So they explained to me that I had to realize that I'm a sinner, irrespective of what I thought I had been doing. Being religious and all that cannot save anybody. Church cannot save anybody. Even men of God cannot save anybody. Nobody says except Jesus. Now, where salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ. Acknowledge, just receive him. You don't have to work. You don't earn salvation. You don't work for it. I'll be trying. You know, one day I'll get saved. No, it's not like that. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, that by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. So you don't earn salvation, but you receive salvation. And that salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ and no other.
So when you had that sermon on that day, did they call people to come forward? And you went forward?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Yes. So there was an altar call. And I came out with my long rosary, with which we used to pray, you know. But when they prayed for me, when they prayed for me and I received Christ, joy came into my heart.
Praise the Lord. So you felt something, a joy.
Yeah. Another thing that happened, nobody told me, not even the people that were leading me to Christ told me to drop that thing called bead. I felt I now had direct access to God and I didn't need all those beads for prayer. So that's one tangible thing that happened that time. And my tastes and my desires, my likes and dislikes change.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, that is an example of you failed something when it touched you. Now, after that, what about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I know you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. When did that happen?
Okay. Baptism of the Holy Ghost took place 2 years after I was born again. It's not that it ought to take 2 years. There are people who get baptized in the Holy Ghost instantly when they receive Christ. Or even they receive Holy Ghost before they even receive Christ and get baptized and all that. So, as for me, I was now in college in Nigeria. And we belong to a fellowship called ECU, Evangelical Christian Union. So, we're having fellowship. And they told us about Holy Ghost baptism. So I desire to have this Holy Ghost baptism. But each time I pray, I wouldn't receive. I saw many of my roommates, colleagues, junior ones receiving Holy Ghost. Oh, I said, God, what's happening? For at least, since I gave my life to Christ, I'm not baptized. I see many people testifying. So it was a constant request I made to God. One day in my hostel, I made up my mind. Today, I am going to receive the Holy Ghost. How did I go about it? There was no fellowship, but I went to one of our classmates, junior to me, he's a medical doctor, not Dr. Akhigbe. No, I went to his room. When I got there, I knelt down before.
He was also a believer. He was also ECU.
Yes, a believer. And they had received the Holy Ghost, but me, I had not. Hey, I was wondering. So I said, today, but I made up my mind that day I was going to receive. No excuse. So I went to their room, and I met some other believers there. I just knelt down, raised my hand without even special greeting. I said, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they were moved instantly to pray for me. And I received the Holy Ghost. I received the Holy Ghost right there.
Praise the Lord. How do you know you received the Holy Ghost?
Okay. Just like in the Bible, when people receive the Holy Ghost, like in Acts chapter 2, you know, people heard them speak in tongues, diverse kinds of tongues. Speak in tongues and praise glorify God too.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That is exactly what we are going to see from the scriptures. Evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. At least, people call it initial evidence. Because we are going to see it in the scripture that is not the born again. The born again, Holy Ghost already started working on you. That's a change that he first mentioned. But when it comes to baptism, which is empowerment, because Christ said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That endowment with power is what we call baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And when the Lord gives that, he actually gave the promise to every believer in Mark chapter 16. Bro, thank you, bro. I'm going to call the next brother that we are going to do interview for. But before I go and call the other brother so that you can hear the mouth of two witnesses, every word should be established. I'm going to call Pastor Emmanuel Uba, who is going to also give us his own experience when he was born again, what he felt, and when he received the Holy Ghost. And then I will come back to the scriptures. I'll talk about the evidence. Because that evidence is essential. And if you have the evidence, of course, then you know that. Hold this one for now.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. When you have the evidence, you will know. And then that evidence is not just initial evidence. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. It's not just initial. Because people think, I speak in tongues for a few minutes and then I think. It is expected to be a lifetime thing because God wanted to use it. That's why I promised to everybody to be filled to speak in tongues. We get to that in Mark chapter 16. Pastor Iman Iba,
praise God,
is a pastor here. And now you're going to tell us also when you are born again, what you felt.
Yeah.
And what were you before you were even born again? Summary of that. Don't tell us the detail of what you did wrong, but just summary then. Tell us were you invited, somebody like that too?
Let me say something before I go to that question. And this is something I would like us to discuss maybe during the review. Is speaking in tongues a sole evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost? That's something I want
we to get to that like later. To discuss. That will be in my discussion.
Okay,
go ahead.
You. But anyway, back to my salvation. I was raised in Methodist church environment. My mother was a very good Christian, but I didn't really know the Lord. I have no much example like reading the Bible that kind of Christian that goes to Methodist church and stuff. And so at a point, I had a feeling that there's more to God than what we are doing in this nominal Christian environment. And I wanted to know a little more about God. And that opportunity came when I went to school at Government Technical College, Enugu. At that point, some students from IMT, Institute of Management and Technology, Enugu, came to do a kind of a crusade in our school. And they had a drama team. That drama team acted about two kids, one of them are from the same parents. One of them is Daval, a Christian good person and stuff. And the other one is a rascal, a kind of a no good kind of person. And he wound up cheating the parents. So it was through a tragedy, a situation that led that young man, to cut the wrong story short, to Christ. And that appealed to me. So I came out on that day on the altar call, just a little group of students coming to witness, but that made a great impression on me. And that is kind of the first time somebody say, I understand what they are talking about being born again. So that's how I gave my life to Christ.
And what did you feel when you say you gave your life to Christ? What happened to you?
The first instance of this, really nothing, to be sincere, I didn't feel any change. It is the second, I don't know if I should call it second born again or second revelation, that made the whole of a difference to me. And that's another story. So that first time, I was, you know, still the same devil, kind of person that comes to church. I was even appointed a president of Anglican student along that time. But I really don't feel the inward power, the grace that shows that I am born again. I was still more like what I was before, but I now have a knowledge of being born again. So there's no specific revelation. It was the second situation that made me more of what I am today.
Okay, what's that second situation?
That second situation, I like to go from the foundation because some of us think that because you're a Christian, you won't fall into diverse temptation or trials or whatever it is. I have a very beautiful wife, so she's more beautiful than this girl in my village. That girl was beautiful, and I was attracted to her. I had a crush on her, even as a Christian young man. But the good thing about this girl is that she's a true born again. And she didn't throw me off. She didn't kick me out. She didn't abuse me. She kept teaching me that I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I really don't know what it is. They don't discuss that in the Methodist church. So this young girl told me about it. So my way, well, I said, well, let me figure it out. I tried to figure it out. I couldn't. So I decided to go on a search. When I set my heart to look for something, I really make an effort. I go to different places. Anywhere they talk about, I try to, but it didn't sink in. One day, I told the story in this church before. I went to a crusade. I mean, everybody was there being filled with the Holy Ghost. I looked to heaven and said, do you hate me that much? How come these people are getting the Holy Ghost I don't get? So I decided to imitate the Holy Ghost. I started speaking in tongues, jumping around, making noise and stuff. It wasn't real, but I was trying to imitate people. And I keep telling that story that made people laugh. One of the ladies who was here wearing this torpedo shoe, a hobnail kind of stuff, was dancing around with whatever is possessing her. And she kind of pierced my sandal. That thing went through my feet and punctured a hole in my toe. If I had the Holy Ghost, it disappeared at that moment. So I left that crusade ground. So along the way, I keep searching. And one day, in a very unlikely place, in Enugu, at the corner of a house, I saw a piece of paper. It was Kenneth Hagin piece of paper. It's like somebody, Kenneth Hagin, it's not a track. It's like a part of something somebody threw away or dropped there. Just a piece of little this thing, Kenneth Hagin. He wrote on it where he was searching for the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And so what he wrote there was that he went to the pastor and the pastor told him to tarry and wait for it. But he said that the Holy Spirit told him, why are you waiting for what God has given? That sings, that brought revelation to my heart. That moment, that evening, I said, wow, so why have I been searching, going to crusade ground, asking ministers, people to pray for me, that this is what God has given? And that is the key principle about faith. Once revelation downs in your heart about any promise of God, whether it be finance, whether it be healing, once there's a dawning in your heart about and you key it, like we said this morning, to the word of God, your victory is assured. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that evening, the place I am is a one room with somebody that if I pray anything, it would throw me out. So I packed and left that evening to a Christian brother, Benjamin, living far away from there. I went by bus, got to his house late in the night, about maybe around 8 or 9 p.m., and he was cooking beans, I can remember that, and some kind of fish. He said, he didn't ask, he said, is everything? I said, yeah, he came to my house this later. I said, yes. And that's one thing about Christianity in those days. You can go knock on any door.
call on a brother at any time. He accepted me. We ate the beans and stuff. And then later I said, what is it? I said, I came to pray here and receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He looked at me, kept quiet, and went inside the room and slept. After he's sleeping or something, I knelt down and prayed. I'm not going to wait again for what God has given. I am here to accept it, and I receive it in Jesus. I can't remember how I prayed, but that's the last time I knew where I was. I think I had my first vision.
So what did you...
What happened is that as I was kneeling down, I saw myself in three-dimensional, and somebody has stuck a funnel inside my mouth. My head was tilted back, and that person was pouring oil inside my mouth. And I keep seeing my stomach growing like somebody pregnant, you know, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, until my stomach was elevated. And then I coughed, coughing meaning I want to vomit out those oil in my stomach. And according to the brother, I've been speaking in tongues for hours and hours that night. And I received some gift that very night.
Praise the Lord. So you actually experienced that when you say somebody was born, that is in a vision.
A vision, okay, yeah. And that's my first time I think of ever.
Praise the Lord.
Bless
you. So you can see, thank you, bro. You can see from testimonies that it is not something you imagine. It's an experience. And I'm going to capitalize on that and give you some Bible verses that will help us to see. The last time I did this, when I say I did it, and not this interview, that I preached on the Holy Spirit, the Lord actually, that was way in that building, the Lord told me, some people are going to need oil. And on that sermon, I invited people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have testimonies. Now, this time I say, Lord, are you going to fill anybody with the Holy Spirit? He said, you have to use faith. So we are going to believe. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, because you have been coming to church, but you want this Holy Spirit, you want to be filled and speak in tongues, then we're going to lay our hand upon you and pray for you. And the Lord is going to fill you according to your faith. He said, do you have the power to do it? No. It is the Lord that does it. But he sent people to go lay hands upon people so that he can feel them. So that is what we are going to do at the end of this sermon. Now, I said, I'm going to talk briefly on that speaking in tongues because that seems to be very, very important. I said, Mark chapter 16, if you put it out, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. So that we can see this is a promise to every believer. And this sign shall follow what? Them that believe. Everybody. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I didn't write that. That was in the scriptures. So it's not like where some may speak, some may not. Because God has a purpose for putting that one there. It's this heavenly language where you speak to heaven. There are many things, I will give some Bible verses again, that say, sometimes you don't know what to pray for. Look at what's going on in Nigeria. Look at what's going on in the world. Do you know what to pray for? Oh, I agree with the government. You are praying for the government. You don't remember if God himself was the one doing these things. Oh, I agree with America. You are praying for America against Iran. You don't know whether it is God that is doing this thing. Holy Ghost knows. So speak, pray in the spirit. The Lord, this is our desire, but we are going to let the Holy Ghost pray. And the Holy Ghost will speak in tongues, speaking to heaven. That is one of the purposes. That's why he said he can pray through you when you don't know what to even to pray for. And God purposely gives it to every believer. And not only that, that's just one example. Now go, give me again, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 46. Now, when we say, how do you know that you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, well, I went to the water. I was baptized in water. But are you filled with the Holy Ghost? They say, yes. Do you speak in tongues?
He said, no. But see, that is the initial evidence. And I'm going to point to three examples in the Acts of the Apostles. How do they know these people are filled? Look at this one. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter and said, shall anybody, next verse, can any man forbid water that this should not be baptized when they have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So how will they know that people are filled with the Holy Ghost? Is it because they shake? No, he said they spoke with other tongues. You get another example when in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, verse 17 to 19, this is the story of Peter went around and he came to Samaria where Philip had been baptizing people with water. And they said there was this Simon the sorcerer who also followed them and said, wait, he loved what was going on. So he followed Philip around. Then the apostles heard that these people in Samaria have heard the gospel. So they sent Peter and John to come to them. And Peter laid hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, how did they know that they received the Holy Ghost? Look at Simon the sorcerer, who was actually trying to trade in this thing. The next verse said, Simon the sorcerer, when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles, Holy Ghost was given, how did he know that these people received the Holy Ghost? Because they saw evidence that they were speaking in tongues. Is the evidence? Well, because they shake and tremble, they don't even need to shake. But they spoke in another language. So he said he offered them money. Will he be offering money to people when he couldn't see that they received anything? Because he knew that they are manifesting something. And he wanted that power to be able to be trading with it. Another example, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, from verse 1 to 6. See another example of the speaking in tongues, chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. This is when Apostle Paul came to Ephesus. Go to the next verse. And he saw some disciples. He met some disciples. They said they were disciples, but because he saw them, they were separate from the Jewish synagogue. And he has not been there. He thought somebody else must have preached to them. So he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Which means everybody should receive it also. And he said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, what then were you baptized? How are you baptized? Unto what then were ye baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. These people were Jews. They could have gone to Jerusalem when John the Baptist was preaching about. They heard these things that Apostle John the Baptist was talking about. So they got baptized by John. And they came back to Ephesus and rejoicing, separating themselves and being a group. But they didn't know about Jesus Christ. They didn't know about what has happened in Jerusalem. When Apostle Paul now came and said, have you received the Holy Ghost? We never heard about the Holy Ghost. Who baptized you? John, Apostle Paul, now told them about what John was preaching, that they should believe in Jesus. Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Next verse. When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. So how do you know they are filled with the Holy Ghost? Because that was how it started. Have you received the Holy Ghost? They could have said, yeah, we did. But they are not. They are being sincere. They don't know about it. And then he said, baptize in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then he laid hands upon them, and then how do they know they received? And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So those are evidence, initial evidence, you can call it that way. If you don't have that initial evidence, you can ask for it because he said everybody should speak in tongues like we read it in Mark chapter 16, verse 8, 17 and 18. Okay? And what is the usefulness of this gift that we are talking about? What is the usefulness? And that is one of the points I'm going to point out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Read verse 4 for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. What is the usefulness? Apostle Paul kept on explaining this. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh, edifieth himself. I'm going to read that again. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. What does that really mean? Building yourself up. It's like a charge, your battery. When you have your battery in your cell phone and it's weakening, you need to charge it up. Speaking in tongues build you up spiritually. That's why God put it in the body of Christ. So everyone should speak in tongues. You are talking to heaven. You are talking mysteries. And he went further, he said, in another place, you speak mysteries. Mysteries, that is divine secrets. That is why God put it in the body of Christ that people should, everybody should speak in tongues. And it's not just evidence that where I got it the first time. It is something you use continually to charge yourself along with many other things. You say, well, if you are doing that, you are not living right. Of course, you have some other things that will be attacking you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. When you say edify himself, God put ministries in the body of Christ. Give me Ephesians chapter 4. The ministries God put in the body of Christ says for the perfecting of the saints. That is when he said he put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's verse 11. He says it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the ministries, the teaching that pastors teach and the evangelists teach and the teachers teach is going to edify the body of Christ. But then he put one, speaking in tongues, to edify yourself also from the Spirit. So you can see why God said you are needing to edify yourself. Pastors are edifying you, teachers are edifying you, but you also need to edify yourself from this inside in, from inside out. This one is from outside in, this one is from inside out as you speak in tongues. So know the usefulness of this speaking in tongues that the Lord has put in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. One of the usefulness of verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Give it up to me, please. Okay. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So you can see why the Holy Ghost is giving us sometimes this speaking in tongues is useful, especially when you are ministering. I can give testimonies where I go to a place and before I lay my hand on somebody, the Holy Ghost spoke. Let me give you that testimony that will help somebody. So when you say speaking in tongues, where is it just for sometimes? It is for prayer. Speaking in tongues is for prayer. You don't speak in tongues when you come over here unless the Holy Ghost wants to speak in tongues for prayer. But when you are in your house, that's when you need it most. I've given exhortation here where I said, each time I call my children one by one and lay my hand upon them and the Holy Ghost spoke, you are warding off some things which you cannot see. You don't see them. You don't know them. You are speaking in tongues. The Spirit is commanding spirits that could trouble the mind to get off from those children. And that is part of the why God gave this gift to every believer. Because he said every believer should be his witness. Every believer should be his witness. And for that witness, you need some power empowerment. That is the Holy Ghost empowerment. Okay? And that's why Apostle Paul said, sometimes you don't know what to pray for. You just lay your hand upon somebody and you pray. And the Holy Ghost will sometimes speak few words of authority. To send those spirits away, to come and take authority before you even know what to pray for. I went to a village, I've given this testimony many times, one time before. I was coming from Ibadan to my village where I was living and working then. And I have a jeep in those days. And the Lord said, branch to this village. Sunday morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning, because I went and have fellowship with people on Saturday night. and then I will come back Sunday morning. Preach to these people. I went to that village, so I got to the village and I started blasting Jesus is coming soon with my speaker, microphone, that is attached to the Jeep. And villagers just came out, about 12 people, and listening and listening. And then I started praying for them. Right behind was one woman, I've given that testimony before, a woman that was full of leprosy. You can see it, all her face was being eaten out, and she wrapped at all the way to the foot so that the insects would not be troubling her. And she stayed at the back of the crowd. And I was just laying my hand upon everybody, praying, They are receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come to this woman at the back. Before I could touch her, the Holy Ghost spoke. When I say spoke, that means it's not me that speak. Because I might say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I just say, God, that was just bloated out. That is authority. And when that came out, I saw, when I say I saw, the Holy Ghost, open your eyes. Saw the spirit jump off of that woman. That is the authority that the Lord put in the power of the Holy Spirit. That you don't know what to say. And then I just pray for her and move on to the next person. The following Sunday, I passed by that village. This woman that all her power was all to the toes was now healed. Every toe was healed. But I saw her going to the river with to fetch water with the rest of the people, and I just stopped and I talked to her and said, keep praising the Lord. That is how the Lord uses the authority in the Spirit. But he said, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must pray in tongues. You must speak in tongues. It is given, it's a gift to every believer. So if you have not received it, you need to ask him. You need to open up yourself. You say, I don't believe it because there are some Baptists in the, maybe Baptist church. Many of them have believed now, but the organization called Baptist Church, when this thing started, they were the first to oppose it. They said, well, this might be of the devil. But if you are of leaning to that direction, then the Holy Ghost will say, gentlemen, he won't force himself upon you. If you believe that, well, it's only for now, I don't think I need it. I think I have this experience. The Holy Ghost will just fold his hand. He's a gentleman. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to force himself upon anybody. But that is why faith comes into play. You must believe that it is for you. And now, I went to a place where one, in a village, many years in Nigeria too, and one guy was Jehovah's Witness, said, point it to me in the Bible that this thing is still for now, because they believe that it is solely for the apostles. It is done and gone. They are the like of denomination that taught this thing is only for the apostles. And I said, look at it in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. Let's look at it in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. What Apostle Peter told them when he was telling them about the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said they should repent and believe. Because the gift is for you and for your children. That's verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift is to the body of Christ, to the church. Jesus is giving to the world. Sinners can accept Jesus. But when you are no more a sinner, you have been born again, this gift is for you, Holy Ghost. So he said, this gift is unto you and to your children. But the promise is unto you, that's verse 39, and to your children, and to all that are afar of all, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you are called to be a Christian. So if you have been called to be a Christian, this gift is for you. Now, a gift is a gift now. Let me just drop it. The Lord just pointed that to me. I just brought this new pamphlet that I made, and I brought about 38 is on the table there, and it's a free gift. It's talking about, this is a doctrinal book. Death is an enemy is the title of this pamphlet, about 30 pages. And it's a free gift to all of you here. And those who are online that we watch, you can get it on Amazon. Just order it, because I can't I don't know how to get it to you. That's why we put it on Amazon, not for sale there, but for gift, but you still have to buy it in Amazon. But here it is free gift for all of you. On the table there, you see about so many of them, and then if you run out of that, there's still a little box there. So I say I brought about 30, 40. This is one of the 40. So take one freely and give it to other people, because it's talking about death is an enemy. Christ has already abolished death. But this summary, you know, if you have my book, that is a big book, this is like an introduction to that. But you have some Bible verses that you can study that will tell you more. But it's a free gift. So like I just said, the Holy Ghost is also a gift. So if you walk away, you didn't, and you don't take this, that means you don't take the gift. It's free. So if you don't get the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, that's your problem. No, so. Because the Bible says it's a gift to the body of Christ, to everybody. Just like he just told me, tell them about this. It's a gift. It's right there on the table. If you get to the table at the house side there and you say it's finished, there's a little box where the other books are, and you'll see more of this. Just take one and read it. Study the Bible. You see that, yes, death is an enemy, and Christ has abolished death for us, and you can live above death, walking with Jesus. So that's where that just comes into play. Hey, it just says it's a gift. Now that's a gift for you. Praise the Lord. So like I was saying, he has put these ministries in the body of Christ for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, and for edifying us. Then also put something inside us called Holy Ghost. That if you speak in tongues, it will also charge you up, edifying. And the Lord says, if you want it, you ask for it. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. That will be the summary of this today's exhortation. Somebody say, well, is this the only evidence of you have received the Holy Ghost? That is initial evidence. That is continual usage. Because when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he has many other gifts he can give to you. Additional. Note that. Additional to what he has put in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Say, they shall. He doesn't say some of them. This sign shall follow them that believe in me. In my name they shall cast out the wood. They shall speak with new tongues. So that does not remove anybody from that. You may say, well, I spoke in tongues the first time and I never, because you didn't exercise it. A little baby that was born is trying to learn how to speak. Ba, 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 ba. If that's all you did, that's all you know. If they stop you from saying, you know, from that papa, you must be able to say, papa, papa, how are you, papa? That's you are forming a language. But it doesn't start and stop on the single day. That is what the experience of speaking in tongues also is. You start up, you say, ba, 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 ba. But if you continue to use it, it became a language. You may not know the language, but you know it's no more just tapa, tapa, tapa. So if you are still tapa, it's because you never use it. A child that never learned the language will only stop with A, B. If you go to primary school, you started with A, B, C, D, not so. And that's all you know, and you never know how to make those A, Bs become a L, O. Then you have not been educated. So the same way with the Holy Ghost, you let yourself do it. Do it in prayer in your house as you pray. As you pray, you see it becomes a language that your mouth, your tongue are all part of it speaking. That's what it is. So that's why many people have to be coached to know what to do. People are not coached and they just stopped at the first day. But when I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, it looked like making noise. But every time I knelt down, I said, Holy Ghost, speak, and he do it until I became like a language. Of course, there are other additional that the Bible says gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gave you other gifts that the Holy Ghost will give. The speaking in tongues, when you are baptized, maybe just one, he may add it with prophecy, he may add it with a word of knowledge, he may add with so many experiences, yes, or diverse kind of tongues, where the tongue you are speaking suddenly changed to German, suddenly changed to this, suddenly changed as he desires. And you see that in the gifts. First Corinthians chapter 12. But now I'm going to wrap it up. If you say, I really want the Holy Ghost, I want the Holy Ghost to energize me to be able to witness to others, that's one of the things he needed you for. He needed to give it to you for. Boldness to preach the gospel, not being afraid, not being shy. Because some are timid, they are shy, they don't even know whether they can talk to anybody. But if you are a believer, he wants to share your testimony like our pastors. They share, freely share. If you are afraid to share your testimony, you need the Holy Ghost. I remember in many years when I was 1978, I went to London and I was talking in the train to people. And they looked at me like I was insane because they were so secular in those generations. And I came out of the train and one of the people that was sitting down ran after me and said, "Praise the Lord, brother, I'm a Christian." He didn't say anything when I was witnessing to them, but he saw my briefcase. On the briefcase is stickers that say, "Jesus loves you." So he knew that I was a believer. While the others were unbelievers, I was just looking at him like, "This man is crazy, talking about religion in the train." So he invited me and said, "Come to my house." And I went, he came and picked me up. And I went to his house. The first thing his wife asked me was that, "Brother Julius, how did you get that boldness? We would like to witness to people, but they are afraid." I said, "You need the Holy Ghost." That is what Jesus Christ said. He said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Then, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then you will be able to be witness unto me." Apostle Peter, the day the Lord Jesus was arrested, being crucified, going to be crucified, he was afraid of the maid. The maid said, "You are one of them." He said, "I'm not." Because he has not been filled with the Holy Ghost. He was still just following the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not experienced this baptism. The maid, and then the other maid saw, "This is one of them." He started cursing, swearing, "I never know this man." Afraid. This same happens to Peter after the Holy Ghost came upon them. He was not more afraid of a maid. He was not even afraid of the chief priest in front of them. He said, "You crucified him." He was ready to die for Jesus. So anybody that's going to lay their hand life for Jesus, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Without it, you're on your own. Praise the Lord. So let's stand to our feet. If you want the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, feel free to ask. We are going to just lay our hand upon you by faith. It is not me that gives it, but Christ. And he's going to be looking at you. If you want to be able to speak in tongues, you say, "I've been filled with the Holy Ghost." Ask Jesus, "Lord, Holy Ghost, speak in tongues with me." That's exactly it. Just ask him to speak in tongues. And you feel that your tongue will begin to move, and then you follow it up with the rest of the mouth. Come forward. If you want me to lay my hand upon you, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, especially young people going to college. You need that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come forward. We pray for you. You have to ask Jesus, and he will give it to you. Anybody, come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of suppose I don't. God, the Bible said, if you, a father, know how to give good gifts to your children when they ask you, how much more our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, to them that ask him, to them that ask him. If you want Holy Ghost, come forward and ask. Now pray for yourself. If nobody come forward and ask, means that you think you don't need it. Or you think I already got it. So let's pray. Sarakanda Hopali Yarika Hopali Yariko Hopali Kandali Yariko Hopali Yarikanda Hariko Yaparika. Now pray for yourself. If you want just the gifts, you want more gifts, you can ask that without anybody laying hands upon you. Ask for the Holy Ghost gifts. If you have already filled it, if you want the Holy Ghost baptism, and like I said, when the Lord didn't say do anything, I want to say, well, if you anybody come forward, we use faith and lay hands upon them. But the last time, he actually said, some people need oil. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. Thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your promises of life. Thank you for your word that is forever set to never. And I know, Lord Jesus, you are the word. And your word will never fail. Let your name, O Lord God, be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.